Welcome to the Big Dreams Great Teams podcast with me, your host, Paula Maidens. I'm a mum of two, a hiring and leadership coach, a speaker, ex-corporate recruiter, and serial entrepreneur who is obsessed with teaching capable business owners just like you how to become graceful and powerful leaders surrounded by a team who perform like rock stars. On this podcast, we'll be talking about all things people, business, and leadership because big dreams need great teams. You simply cannot do it on your own. I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive in. A lot of the clients I speak to are scaling from multiple six figures to seven figures, or they're scaling to multiple seven figures. And my clients come to me because this team thing is feeling messy. The people side of their business is feeling hard. And often they, as the entrepreneur, are feeling like they're working harder than ever, but also paying more money out to other people to support them. So more money than ever. And what I often see and what I often hear is that people come to me thinking that they have a recruitment or a hiring problem. So they come saying, this person isn't doing what I need them to do, or I'm not enjoying how this person is working, or this doesn't feel good to me, or quite frankly, this person's really annoying me, or these people, this function is really annoying me. And so often they think that they're coming to me, or they intend when they're coming to me to learn how to hire someone better. So they're looking to find out the secret to where can I get a better person? What does that better person look like? And they think it's a hiring challenge that they're having. And while that absolutely sometimes may well be the case, what's equally as often, if not more so the case, is that the person they've hired or the people they've hired are okay. And it's the leadership framework that includes a team structure that's lacking. Now, I'm not saying that my amazing clients are bad leaders. I'm not sitting here saying to you, no, it's not them, it's you. There's no finger pointing happening here because let's face it, none of us need any more shame or negativity or difficulty added into our entrepreneurial journey. Notice the subtle difference. I'm not saying you are a bad leader. I'm not saying you need to get better at this leadership thing. What I am saying is that you most probably haven't established your leadership framework yet. And as part of a leadership framework is a team structure. And it's that team structure that supports them, your people, to do their jobs. And it supports you as the leader to really feel like you're thriving in your business. And often that looks like you spending the time that you want to spend doing the things that you think are important and not being interrupted by the other stuff. So what I am saying is that a leadership framework and a team structure probably doesn't exist in your business if you're sitting there feeling like all the people, I've got all these people around me, but nobody's doing things exactly how I want them done, or it feels messy, or everyone's coming to me too much, or I'm getting asked so many questions, I feel so interrupted, or I'm working harder and longer than ever before, and I'm paying more money than ever before, or seeing more money going out the door. So I want to talk today about the two distinct stages of growing your team, or the two distinct elements of growing your team. The first one being hiring great people, but then the second, equally as important one, is leading them well. So if you hire people who aren't quite right, it puts so much pressure on your leadership skills, on your leadership framework, and on the team structure that you need to have set up. If you hire great people or people who are pretty good, it's definitely less pressure on your leadership framework, but you still need to learn to lead, have great conversations, tweak what they're not doing quite so well, and try and make it better through giving great feedback and having systems to pick up mistakes and systems so that everybody in the team knows what they need to do, how to talk to each other, and what's actually important in the scheme of things. Now, if you hire epic people, sure, they might lead themselves to a certain extent. But unfortunately, it still won't exempt you from steering the ship. You can never get to opt out of being the leader, which is, you know, setting the vision, setting the goals, deciding the way you want the business to feel and the way you want people to communicate with each other and tracking individual and the whole team's performance and ultimately deciding, does this feel good to me? Do I like the experience that my customers and clients are getting? Do I like the experience that my team members are having? So you can't actually outsource your leadership, your role as leader, even by hiring epic people. Sorry, if you were hoping that hiring somebody amazing and plonking them into your business was your job done, then that's not, unfortunately, the case. So I hear lots of emphasis and lots of talk about hiring A players. And yep, I know I absolutely talk a lot about hiring A players too, because yep, absolutely, that is really important. And you get that part right and you are well on your way, but the job is not done there. You need to equally focus and be ready to invest in you becoming an A leader. So it's not just about hiring an A player. It's about you becoming an A leader and you doing your part to make it possible for your team to thrive. So I want to share with you some examples of what an A leader, so somebody who's leading really well, what they don't do. Being an A leader doesn't look like not finding the time to have meetings and not bothering to communicate properly what you want done. And it doesn't look like avoiding meetings because you think they're a waste of time, or expecting people to be perfect or amazing from the outset with limited information and without thinking about things like checkpoints or reviews and how you give somebody the space to get things wrong and your brand to stay protected. So an A leader doesn't show a disinterest or no interest in creating systems that will support your team to thrive and will actually support your business to flow. An A leader doesn't look like giving people a teeny tiny bit of information about what you want, maybe explaining a concept, getting frustrated with the details or the questions and expecting somebody to work it out for themselves. It doesn't look like avoiding being really clear about what you want from somebody. So not going or taking the time to actually describe their specific role, what you want done, when you want it done, and what a great job looks like. It's not giving somebody a title and thinking that that's enough for them to work out the details. And when they try their hardest to work it out and get it wrong, acting all disappointed that they didn't meet your brief. It's also not interrupting your team with your ideas and thoughts at any time of the day and expecting them to be on call and responsive within an hour and coming back to you within an hour of receiving a message from you at any time of the day. Or it's also not doing everything yourself just because it feels easier than trying to work out, well, how do you hand this over to somebody in a way that actually gets what I want when I could just do it myself? And it's also not seeing yourself as so amazing, even though I'm sure you are, but so amazing in that way that it's almost like you're seeing yourself as better than other people and thinking, well, no one's ever going to do it as good as me. And so either you don't try to hand it over or you hand it over with that expectation that it's not going to come back done very well. Now, I'm guessing that by me rattling off that list, that may have caused some feelings to rise up in your belly. Maybe some of those things have triggered you. Maybe you're like, oh, I do that. And I want you to know that's totally okay. Those feelings are good because, you know, these two elements, these two critical parts of growing your team and growing your business, hiring well, hiring the right people, and then leading them well, it's a transition. And it's definitely not easy. And if somebody sits there and tells you that it's easy, then they're lying. It's not easy because it's expecting and asking of you to look at the way your business is currently doing things and to look at how it can do things differently. So this part of stepping into the role of CEO, becoming a leader, creating a leadership framework that feels good to you and a structure that your team needs to thrive is absolutely, for most people, uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable because it starts with looking in the mirror. And it starts with looking at whatever stories you might be holding on to around being a leader, around being the CEO, about being the boss, about having systems. Maybe you've got some stories about what freedom means to you. Maybe there's some fear sitting there around what you're creating, what you're asking for other people to do, if it's actually possible. So we have to look at whatever attachment you've got happening, and we also look at, well, what does it need to look like to feel really good to you? So it's this intentional phase of building a team that creates a beautiful business that's actually going to feel good for you. It's not just hiring great people, plonking them in, you know, wiping your hands of them and thinking my job's done. It's getting really intentional about what I want my business to look and feel like. Now, what sort of team do I need to make sure that we're on track to that? And working backwards with that really clear goal in mind and using that goal, that clarity around what you want and what feels good to you to create your leadership framework and your team setup so that it feels great to you and it also works functionally for your team. So the reason I really want to talk about this today and the reason I'm diving deep into these two different stages is because I work with so many amazing high performers who have built epic businesses from their high performing capacity and their high performing functionality of where they're doing lots of the things. And yep, definitely they often have a little bit of help along the way. But when they get more help and they're trying to hand more over, it starts to feel really tricky. They struggle. So I'm sure many of you listening to this today are in that stage of, I want to stop doing so many things. I want to be less involved with so many things. What is this resistance that I'm feeling and coming up against when I'm trying to hand over more? And this bit that you're in now, this is the scaling bit. So those words, growing and scaling your business, actually aren't interchangeable. The scaling bit is the challenge of how do I do and how do I take what I used to do and how do I continue to serve clients and customers at a scale? So how do I take what I used to do and the way I used to do it and be able to serve many, 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 many hundreds, thousands of more clients and customers? And what we've got to do, what you need to do is take that, how did I serve a handful of customers and clients when it was just me doing most of the things with just a little bit of help? And what do I need to change to be able to multiply it? Because the reality is that the resistance that you might be feeling and facing might be coming from the fact you're trying to replicate exactly what you did and how you did it at scale, and that might be why it's falling down. One of the things I talk to my clients about is how do we get the same outcome? How do we get the same result? But does it need to be done in the exact same way that you did? Now, depending on the stage you're at first, when we're hiring one or two people in, we typically do, and it's totally normal and it's probably right to get them to replicate exactly what you've done. And when I talk to earlier stage entrepreneurs about hiring their, say, first or second person into their business, in fact, the easiest way to hire somebody and the easiest way to take that first step is by handing over any repeatable tasks that you've been doing. So if there's something that you've been doing over and over again, you know, record your screen, hand it over and get somebody to do that function for you. So that first stage is perfect when you're handing over something that you've been doing and you get somebody else to do it in the exact same stage. But you can't scale like that. You can't scale by just getting more and more people to do exactly the same things. It might work at first, but then it hits a resistance point and it won't grow anymore. Like, you can't scale any further. You have to let some things go. And that is a matter of looking at your workflow and looking at your customer journey and looking at all the things that you do and the people in your team are doing and decide, well, what parts are less important in the scheme of the customer experience, in the scheme of the internal workflow, and in the scheme of where you want to make impact and where your impact is most valued. And then it's a matter of looking at, well, do we need to create a system to pick up some mistakes, which once upon a time you may have picked up? And then there may actually also be times when you think and you decide, no, that's actually really, really critical to the experience, to our workflow, and you may want to keep a human as the checkpoint for those critical stages. But I guess the message that I want you to hear today is to check in on your attachment to the way things are done. And whether your attachment is to the way things should be done because that's the way I've always done it, or the way I want something done just because, and maybe that's like an ego attachment, we need to do some analysis of what we're actually attached to. And it's this little bit is the bit that will make your leadership framework, your team structure, and your team design really unique to you. Because if you just take somebody else's model, the way they've set their team up, the way they've set their workflow up, and plonk it into your business, you won't feel safe as the leader. You'll feel quite out of control. You won't necessarily know the full customer experience. And it just, in my experience, it doesn't feel good. So creating your team structure, your leadership framework is looking at, well, what are the parts in my internal workflow, in my external customer experience that are really critical and important to my offering, to my business? And you get to be pedantic about the things that are important to you. Now, for some of my clients, that might literally be double checking the size of the fonts and the type of fonts that's been used. Other clients might need a double check point at an email or a drafted caption before it goes public. Other clients might just want to give a sign off on a brand design of a new program. And that's as much as, you know, their involvement. That's all they need to feel safe and in control. So you need to have a look at, it's about analyzing, where is my attachment and why is it there? So for example, why am I resisting creating a workflow so that people know what to do next without asking me? If it's because you're afraid of the client not getting the right experience from you personally, then great. You may be able to build a process around that. But after a little bit of digging, you realize it's just because, gosh, that kind of makes me feel important and valued, and that might be why I'm holding on to it, then you're able to go and find that validation and satisfaction in another way in your business and step away from that function, that role, that, you know, supervisory or that review point in that particular part of your workflow. And that stepping away is what will let your business scale. Another common line of inquiry that I have with a lot of my clients and my clients face is, why am I resisting having a weekly meeting? Why am I resisting having a weekly meeting with a key member of my staff, my key member of my team, or with my whole team? Now, it might be because you hate the thought of a Monday morning meeting because that reminds you of your corporate job that you ran away from. In which case, is your attachment to the story of what a weekly team meeting needs to look like? And I would say to you then, well, then shift it to a Tuesday afternoon if that's what works better for you. Or if after a bit of analysis and journaling, you might realize, well, it's actually because every meeting that I've ever been in feels like a waste of time, including the ones I have been in my own business. In which case, what might actually be missing is a powerful framework for your team meetings. And you know what? You get to set it. You get to think to yourself, okay, what would make me feel really excited to attend this meeting with my team and it feel like the most amazing 1 hour of power in my whole week to get everybody really just thriving and performing their roles to the best they can? Maybe it would be focusing the conversation on business goals. Maybe it would be everybody bringing questions that only you can answer. And if they could have got the answer elsewhere, you're not allowed to talk about it in the meeting. Maybe it's everybody showing up with ideas. Maybe it's the meeting being less than 30 minutes. Boom. You'll see that through flipping it. So first of all, analyzing, well, what am I resisting here? What attachment do I have to a story or a past experience that I've had? And then how do I make this feel great for me? That's how you get to create your team structure. And that's how you get to create a team structure that suits you, feels good to you, and functionally gives your team what they need. So we've got that first piece, which is hiring the right people. And then we've got this second piece, which is leading them well, creating a leadership framework so that the team get what they need and so they can truly thrive in their roles. So that absolutely includes getting over any stories that you have around systems or structure or delegation in any way, shape, or form restricting your entrepreneurial flow. Because in reality, it's the systems, the structure, and your ability to delegate, which is just handing things over and them getting done the way you want them done. It's these things, systems, structure, and delegation, that will actually give you the entrepreneurial flow that you set out to achieve, which is fundamental to so many of the reasons that many of us actually started a business for ourselves in the first place. So I really, really want you to hear this. You get to set it up so it works for you, but you've got to do the work to get to that point. You can't just hire someone and go, boom, I'm done here. Run my business. I'm going on holidays. Sorry. You can't just do that. Your team will always need your guidance. And when you set up a framework, which is the reference point, it gives your team that guidance for the whole time. You get to decide your role. You get to decide their role. You get to decide when you're going to come together and chat to each other in whatever format, whether it's face-to-face meeting or via Slack or some other tool. And you get to decide how they're going to know the information that they need to know in between those chatting conversations so that they can focus on the right things and you can focus on your things without being interrupted. So I really want you to walk away from this conversation thinking, okay, team has two distinct elements. We've got the hiring and we've then got leading. We've got get great people and then lead them well. And if you want to learn more about leading them well, that's what I do. I'm here to make this transition, because it is a transition, feel easier. And the great thing is that once you've got this leadership framework and this team structure set up, you're done. You'll make little tweaks every now and then in the future, but ultimately you only need to set up your team and your leadership framework once. The way I support clients to do this is via my private coaching containers or in my new group container, which is kicking off in June. So depending on when you're listening to this, which is called Leadership Mastery. If you're sitting there and you're feeling, oh, this does feel a little bit messy at the moment. I've got a couple of people around me. Maybe you've got, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people around you. You still feel really involved. It feels messy. You're feeling interrupted. Then my new group container may be a nice place for you to come and join a bunch of other entrepreneurs who are in the same stage, learn from each other's experiences, and work through the 6 stages of my 6-pillar program of building awesome teams. If that's of interest, jump on a discovery call You can get a link to that call either in the show notes or over on my Instagram profile in the bio. And we can have a chat about the different options, where you're at, what you're trying or wanting, and what you would love your business to feel like. And then we can have a chat about if either program is right for you. Okay, so that's it for today. The two distinct elements of building successful teams, hiring great people, leading them well. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for listening. Have an amazing week, and I will be back here again next week.